Peace. What is good? What's happening? It's your girl, my star, aka Stella. Whatever's clever. So, it's about fucking time that this episode got done. I have recorded it on numerous occasions in multiple formats, and I'm deciding that no matter how this recording turns out, this is the one. Okay, we are on the Polly Pocket topic. I originally was going to do this as a combined video and audio stream, but again, I'm tired. Okay, yes, there will be things burning in the process of this, so just to help me get along. You might also hear my baby monitor in the background sporadically. The charger's being weird, so it keeps dying on me. And you might also hear some regular daytime neighborly sounds. Just a forewarning, in case you need to get into the right environment for your volume to be bomb receptive. So, now. I want to hurry up and, yes, I'm rushing at this point, and get this out. So that way, we got National Poetry Month to honor. Anyway, I won't get into that. Let's get into these notes, the Polly Pocket topic. So, working with what we got, let's first acknowledge that this is a topic that has many layers, if you ask me, but it's also very, it's really to the point. Well, not to the point, but like it's comprehensible shit, you know what I'm saying? I think when approaching this, a lot of people tend to approach this topic in a sense of maybe a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of even speculation because of, I mean, it's about romanticism and dating and how we relate to one another and blah, blah, blah. And no matter how much everybody tries to fake the funk, like, that shit doesn't matter sometimes. It does. It does. So, first things first, is understanding what we've been talking about per definition. So, here is where I will tell you. Firstly, I actually did the liberty of like creating a little diagram or whatever, and yeah, just to put an image cap. I'm gonna try and make that the cover image. Anyway, so polyamory, something that is in human nature, first of all, right? But before I get into those factuals, by definition means to have many lovers or partners. Okay, we all have many lovers or partners. If you consider yourself a lover, for like just off a rip, you more than likely, just from that identification alone, self-identification alone, good grief, you most likely consider yourself, or could consider yourself, polyamorous. Hear me out, okay? Patience is going to be a theme here with this topic, as far as listening goes and as far as participation goes. So polyamory is many lovers or partners. So underneath that, though, there's little, how do you put it? Angles, I guess. There's angles, different ways of approaching and explaining / identifying with the umbrella term that is polyamory. And there's the communal aspect, and then it's personal aspect. There's the structures, and then there's the different forms. So let's start with the different forms. since we're still on definition. There's polyamory. So if you ask me, polyamory can be subset into two different categories based off of gender identification. So there's polyandry and polygamy. Most people tend to, when they think of polyamory modernly, they refer to it as polygamy in the more archaic sense, like back in the day sense. But the conversation that we're having now is more so for the modern person, not somebody trying to revive anything that is dead, not somebody over-identifying with a part of history, whether yours or the world, that doesn't necessarily directly impact them. This is a very modern conversation now, but we have to give our respects to where, you know, some of these ideals came from. And a lot of it is much more tribal than acknowledged, but I digress. Polygamy, the most beloved, the most beloved popular misnomered form of polyamory is when there is a male present who presides and provides for multiple women. These women are usually typically, in the most popular thought, sister wives. Sometimes they get along, sometimes they don't blend. You know, that's another structural aspect of polyamory. I'll get into that later. Okay, so that's more so catering to the masculine. Okay. What the fuck? Sorry, my neighbors are moving and I just don't want them to wake up my baby. It was a very rough road this morning, so I would appreciate it if she was resting right now. Anyway, polyamory. Polyamory. So, I mean, not polyamory, polyandry. Polyandry is the opposite, basically. It is when you have a woman who is the center, the focal point of the polyamorous structure, and she has multiple husbands. Now, in a more modern take on both of these, by definition, of course, you know, people have come more into accepting that sexuality is more of a fluid thing, so take what makes sense and leave the rest. In terms of fluidity, whether that's from your personal standpoint or when you go to observe others in this pocket of a world that is busting at the seams at this point. Okay? So next, down to the structures. So, the structures is where it can get, for some, complicated, for some, fun. To me, just overall, it's just intriguing. Okay, because I've always had a look. I'm gonna be real with you. I've always had a thing for observing. This is the philosopher side of me, psychologist side of me. Like, I've always just had an affinity for human dynamics and interpersonal shit. So, I've said this on numerous occasions when it comes to speaking, but anyway, there is the V, which is when there's one person as the center unifying piece of the dynamics between three people. So that one person has a relationship with one person and another relationship with another. Those two people are not in relationship to each other, but they are okay with being in a relationship with that and sharing that person. That's typically a V. Alright. They can be amicable. I would think they would be amicable if you're polyamorous, but, you know, shit happens. I know things get funky. We all got things to work through. It's all temporary. Next, we have the triad, which is pretty self-explanatory, and doesn't matter which angle you're looking at it from. This is a structure where everybody is in connection to each other, and there's three people involved. So like a V, but enclosed and exclusive to all three people, not just that one person and, you know, the other two one-on-one. Okay, stay with me. Then we have who I see referred to mostly as a quad, which is four people that are in an enclosed, exclusive structure, polyamorous structure. There might be two V's going on, so there could be two focal points, and they each have two partners, okay? Or, and those two partners might be in a partnership with each other, they might not be. That's typically that, or there could be one person with three people. It could be 2-on-2, you know? In a quad, you get a lot of different variations in how the dynamic can break down and build up. But typically exclusive, closed relationship. That's another thing. It's a misconception. Is that... Hold on, let me pause so I can go get this shit fixed real quick before I get deeper. Because we're about to get deeper. Excuse the noise. Now, okay. I'm back. From here, in terms of structure, which is how the general... Okay, so the umbrella... Polyamory is the top of the umbrella part where the different stems come down from, and it is, you know, just kind of perched atop the structure, the handle, excuse me, the axis, right? Now, the structures I'm talking about is what is holding up these different veins, these different spines, whatever, of the umbrella. Which were polygamy, polyamory, and then we want to get into the community and the personal aspect. Okay. Now down at the bottom, the base of the handle, is the understanding of whether these points of relation, these people and these structures are blended, or more so parallel to each other, meaning whether they are all getting along, like in basically coexisting in a way to where, you know, the boundaries of, like, say, like, okay. And this is where it can get funky for some people, honestly, you know, assessing it. Especially if you make it and focus so much on just the structural part and not the purpose and the juiciness and, you know, the lessons and the love that is supposed to be experienced through these dynamics. Anyhow, that's my opinion. The understanding of it being parallel, which is, you know, if I'm in a relationship with this person and I'm also in a relationship with this person, they both understand that, but they're not crossing paths, you know what I'm saying? And this will make more sense once I get into the communal and personal aspects too. But yeah, they also can be called like kitchen table polyamory or blended, you know what I'm saying? Polyamory. where it's like having, I think of it as having like a super extended family living all in one house, right? So say you got like mom, dad, their kids, then their kids might have like a cousin, and that cousin, shit, their parents live there too, and mom and dad also have, like, you know, their side people that live in the house, or, you know, it's everybody, everybody gets along, everybody knows, everybody's together, right? That's kitchen table polyamory. Everybody does things together and approaches the dynamics from a together standpoint versus a one-on-one standpoint. Not self, not just self, one-on-one. Needless to say, that the opposite is the opposite. So, you know, you have, everybody has their respective roles and they don't really cross, you know what I'm saying? The relationships don't overlap, rather, okay? Now let's get into these outlier forms of understanding, whatever you want to call it. I broke it down into communal and personal aspects. So in the communal, you have any of those structures and dynamic that I named from V to full, to quad to parallel to kitchen table, right? From polygamy to polyandry. Oh, and by the way, there can be both of those within one whole polyamory umbrella of a, I guess, family structure. For those that take it that far. Because it's not just about dating for a lot of people, okay? It's not just dating and finding out what's out there and seeing where you line up with someone. No, it's really, really, you know, on some legacy building shit. So anyhow, in comes the roles that come with that. From a communal standpoint, you have the hierarchical and non-hierarchical way of doing things. So say for instance you have a, let's say you have a V, and you, no, scratch that. Let's say you have a quad, and it's you and three other people, right? You're the connector, whatever. You relate and spend time. So the roles in hierarchy and non-hierarchical basically revolve around what is considered to make it really gets into the nitty-gritty of what makes sense per person, per union. So like some people have their primary partner and they make decisions as far as who else they bring in together, and some people have a primary partner and then they have a person who is for this need, and they have a person who's for this need. Sound familiar? Like, does it? I'm sure it does. Okay, so from a hierarchical standpoint, you know, all those involved are dealt with on a, I guess, just based off of that prioritized level of need. Okay, some people, you know, revolve their schedules around that. A lot of the times, how much time they're spending with one person can be based off of their hierarchical, you know, standpoints, and the roles in that hierarchy aren't just about or based off of how much a person feels for the other person, because that would just be a little ridiculous, right? It's not about how much. From a quantitative standpoint, it's usually, and I would hope everybody would, that who goes about it that way, you know, approaches it from a place of it being more so about really polishing the structure of the dynamics and going about things in a way like assigning boundaries and or accountability, time, resources, etc., communication in a certain way, forming it in a certain way based off of what a person is bringing to the table, not just how they are making or how intense or not intense, you know what I'm saying? They are making somebody feel. Everybody's purpose is different. Therefore, everybody's purpose to one another varies. You can still have an intimate romantic relationship with somebody who you feel brings more, you know, brings out your more playful and, you know, lighthearted side, and still be able to hold that same grand, intimate space with somebody who brings out your more practical and down to earth and nurturing side, you know, like it is different. That's kind of, I'm gonna get into that. I'm trying so hard not to get ahead of myself, just because this is just the most basic things that I feel like is what might confuse people when you look at it from the more modern aspect now. So then we get the personal, non-hierarchical. Obviously, it would be the antithesis of the hierarchical. It's just, you know, everybody has their rules, but there's no order, specific order of relation. You know what I'm saying? We all relate, and you have your specific role, and that's that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you, the wife that is good at making all the meals and keeping everybody's health in order, then that's your specific role. You're that wife. You're the wife that, you know, excuse my back, is about her business and can go out into the world and do the traveling and blah, 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 whatever. That's your role, you know what I'm saying? But no one is higher or lower or whatever, not juxtaposed to each other. They all kind of walk in stride together. That will be a non-hierarchical standpoint. I tend to find that those things, non-hierarchical, probably more than likely vary based off of the overall grand family dynamic, not just the one-on-one dynamic. So that brings us to the personal aspect of it, which is more so I feel both of these branches, the communal and personal aspect, they fluctuate based off of where you're at within these relationships, right? No matter your age and experience level, they fluctuate based off that. But there are, I'd say, probably a certain demographics of people, and the demographics are not limited to their basic physical information. It includes that. And like, say for instance, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, sorry, and also trying not to drag this. Say for instance, you are like a, I don't know, middle-aged black male who is getting into the upper middle ages, and you are transitioning from a divorce or separation or whatever, and you might already have a kid who is, I don't know, an adult already or something, but you might, there might be a plot twist in there. Oh, you have, you're sexually fluid or something. I don't fucking know. Listen, everybody has their own story, okay? That's your soul script. However, when we're talking about this, you know, relationship stuff, this stuff comes up more prevalently because how we evolve tends to accelerate when you add another to the picture, naturally. That's nature, right? It's in our nature. So adding more and more, you got to be ready for that rate of growth, which is why me breaking this down to me is very important. So from a personal standpoint, you're usually somebody that I described would be probably trying to find a balance of both the communal and personal aspects. So the personal aspects would have two different lenses that can be worn at the same time or exclusively, which is mono and solo. So you can be solo poly and completely single, and this is like the most single individualistic form of polyamory, I'd say, and probably most common, the more people get to understand what it is they want to, I guess, whatever terminologies they want to use to cover their love life. Solo poly is prevalent, especially if you are a typical, say, young, barely middle-aged black woman, whether you're hetero or not. Yeah, like myself. So, solo, yes, you're typically, you go about your intimate related experiences with your, obviously everybody I would think have their own priorities in mind, but again, everybody has family dynamics and different situational circumstantial shit that can, you know, contribute to the mold of their love life, and their perception of it. So being solo, you doing it solo, but those that you may or may not be involved with on a casual, whether that's casually or on a serious level, long term, short term, all the above, all in between, usually comes with the solo poly life. Everybody still knows it though, or else it wouldn't be poly. You're just out here doing things, pussy popping on a handstand, playing it, pimping it, pushing feet, all that shit. Which is nothing wrong with that neither, you know what I'm saying? But we're trying to build a new period. So, yeah, being conscious of these things and communicating these things consciously as well is the word, it's the movement. So anyway, mono would be when you might be in a relationship, still kind of, you know, looking out for your individual, but from a more, how I put it. So, I guess another word for both of these lanes or lenses would be, open or closed also. Okay, basically. So, you can be polyamorous, right, and only have that one person, but you have other isolated experiences outside of them, but that's just your personal life regardless. You're monogamous in a sense. You're committed to that one person. Everybody else, you are not committed to. Okay? On a solo aspect, you are committed to yourself. You're dating yourself first. And everybody else is a passerby, come and go, you know what I'm saying? That is actually a very high level commitment, little do people realize. And contrary to all the self-love, self-care talk that is the buzz, you know, in all the hype these days, I still find holes in a lot of it for the scripts that a lot of people tend to read from when it comes down to it, because they still, you know, based off of how they move in and out of relationships, whether that's in and out like a revolving door, or when they are in one and when they are out, in both perspectives, okay, all of that shit, there's holes there in how much or how deep they've been privy to going in their self-love and acceptance when it comes down to being with other people. And that's not shading nobody, none of us, okay? Because it ain't nobody's fault, okay? Okay. But it is everybody's responsibility to take a look and get it the fuck together. So, This is what we are against. This is what we're looking at now. Being in a self-committed relationship, whether you consider yourself to be a 100% monogamous person or 100% polyamorous person, regardless, is a high-level commitment. And a lot of people aren't there like they say they would. This is like when back in the day they would make fun of us that would be the self-committed person. Now, the celibate one, even, but still taking on, not even taking on other energies, but allowing themselves to experience different type of emotional depths and exploration through meeting other people. A self-committed person understands that their point of view, though individualistic, helps the community if ever they need to be double committed. So I hope I'm putting this in a way that makes sense. Anyways, now let's get into the juice here. I'm gonna try and make this real quick. Okay, I'm gonna try not to talk too much shit, because one, I don't want my words to backfire on me, you know what I'm saying? But also, I just have stories for days, and it's easy to get caught up in them stories versus, because I'm just trying to, you know, be entertaining and tell y'all shit and everything, but also give some sort of wisdom, some you know, inner medicine. Excuse me. So everything makes sense in playback. So now that we kind of got through what the labels are, congratulations if you made it here. I'm drinking water. Congratulations. Because this is the real shit, for real now. That was all informational. So the next train of thought tends to be, am I, or should I, or shouldn't I? To be or not to be? That is the question. I'm gonna tell you, if you are questioning it in the slightest already, at all, you probably, you should know your answer already, right? You probably do, okay? You just got some denials to get past. And I want to put a disclaimer out there again, there's nothing wrong with being monogamous, okay? It's just that monogamy has become so damn toxic that it's not productive anymore for a lot of people. Not even in theory. Okay, it's just not healthy. And for some of us, even if it was healthy, for some people, based on your demographic, what you're privy to, your habits, your history, whatever, your preferences, it's not realistic and attainable. With the ratio and the statistics and all that shit. But anyways, we're gonna get into it. Hold on. Now, at least that's the most sound and probable reasoning and motivations, at least for me personally, and that I've observed with a lot of people, for participating in polyamory. Granted, there is the stigmas, and sometimes hold true depending on where you're at in your own personal growth, honestly. Some of the stigmas being people do it just to fuck and have a bunch of people to fuck with. People are still dishonest about it. That's not polyamory. What else? That it's more harmful than helpful in the long run. Show me, because so far, from my personal research, and yeah, just looking around. More often than not, it is not as harmful as people have made it out to be. Now, I'm not caping for it. I will always, you know, advocate, like, do you. If anything, the whole purpose of this dialogue and this whole topic is just opening up a deeper conversation, a deeper need for acknowledgement when it comes to how we treat each other. And how much we accept ourselves or don't. And like our true selves, not the selves that we became, you know, by way of any type of imposition. Or opposition even. Our true selves, you know? That's why pride is called pride. That's why it's fucking called pride. You know what I'm saying? It proves in that it's in the name, it's in the meaning, is in the label, the purpose. So, where does that leave all of us or you who have even more questions? I tell people, yo, dig deep. If you want to know my personal, you know, the preface of my personal journey, it's on my Instagram at Truest Arise. That's Truest Arise. And it's in my IGTV section. I believe I put it on YouTube. I'm going to double check though and put it up there if it's not once I publish this. But yes, for you nosy bodies. And not even just for nosy's sake, but, you know, a lot of times we share experiences without realizing it, if only we'd open up. So, boom, figure out what's best for you. That's the whole purpose of having more open communication, more transparency about what your needs and desires are when you are with somebody and you know, have a deep emotional connection to them. Anybody who you, for lack of a better word right now, enlist to be in your life, they're gonna need to know how to treat you, correct? And if you're not telling them, you're showing them. So if you don't understand what's going on within you and how to assert what you want your reality to be, not just hoping it would be that way, but really going about it in a proactive, progressive, constructive way, then shit, you're gonna be in hella situationships. Or look at it as that, at least. Everybody's purpose to each other is different. I will stand by that probably for as long as I live. If it changes, I'll let y'all know. Our archetypes might tend to be easily lumped together and categorized, but the nuances that make us and our journeys different, the things that stand out that make us, you know, magnetic to each other, those are the things that I'd like to think we're beginning to understand within this whole pocket of a topic. So that's it. Be well. Hope that does you some good. Y'all know. Until next time, you know, keep it simple and sacred. Kiss somebody.
movies.